Amen. Good morning, church. Man, it is good to see y'all. Good to be together. Great to worship together this morning. And happy Easter. You can say that. It's okay. I love the times we get together and we have family, and we've got family, and really thankful to have some of them, and really thankful just to for us to all be together and worship together. Sometimes, you know, one of the great things about these holidays and these special days is that you can walk in, you can just see by the kids that something special is going on. They are excited and glad to be here and full of sugar. It's just it's a good morning. So for parents whose kids have loaded up on those hidden eggs, I'll try to be brief for you this morning. You know, like when you're reading a book or you're watching a movie, something along those lines, and there's a pivot in the plot line. You got the story, things are going along. All of a sudden, you get to this part of the plot line that's called the reveal. The reveal is when a character is revealed to be somebody else's mother, and you had no idea about it, that it was going on like that, or that this character is really a superhero. You didn't know about that, or that this person is actually an arch nemesis or an enemy or somebody from your past, and you didn't know it all along. They've been in disguise, right? It's just called the reveal. That moment when the audience is given new information that changes everything about the story. And a good reveal, when it's done rightly, will also give you like a new set of questions. It'll take the plot in a whole new direction. The most famous reveal of all times is in our culture, certainly, is when you have the bad guy, the whole series, Darth Vader says, "Luke, I am your father," which he doesn't technically say, and you nerds know what I'm talking about. But, right, Darth Vader reveals that he's actually Luke's father, and that Leia is his sister. That comes in the next thing. You have no idea after the first few movies. In fact, Vader's status as Luke's father was a reveal nearly to everyone, including the people who were working on the movie. Only a very select few people knew about that all the way up until it was released into theaters. Even the actor who spoke the line, James Earl Jones, was unsure what was actually going to be taking place. It was such a secret, right? There's something special in these moments of revelation when we understand more fully, yet now we have even more questions and we want to know more about the story. It demonstrates, I think, something of the nature of God, because God is a revealer. Like, we didn't know everything about God. You start at Genesis chapter 1, and you read about what God does, and you know something about God, that he's really powerful, and he's really creative, and then he makes man, and you learn something more about him, and as the story goes along, you learn more and more about God. Like when Jacob, he starts wrestling with what we believe is an angel, and Jacob, and goes back to that place. It says Jacob and all the people with him came to the place called Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. And there he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. Why did he call it that? Because there God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. When Jacob was there, God revealed something about himself to him. Samuel, when Samuel was a little boy and he was serving in the temple, we're told that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And you go through the Psalms, you go through all the prophets, and over and over and over again, God is revealing, even to the nation of Israel. They didn't know everything about God, and they're learning about God as they go along. Bit by bit, piece by piece, God is a revealer, revealing something about himself. We come to the New Testament, and even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing the book of Romans, he says, God reveals himself even in the things we see now, even in creation. He says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, like his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen." Like just in creation, you can see those things, right? Being understood from what's been made, so that people are without excuse. That God, you could go out this morning after we leave here, and you could go and take a walk in the woods or down by the river or and to one of the state parks nearby, and you could walk and you could understand something about God just from his creation, because God reveals himself even in his creation. Our God is one who reveals. You go through your Bible and you read, anytime someone is revealing something in Scripture, it's always God. God likes the reveal. He delights in showing us new stuff and giving us as much of him as we can possibly handle. And on this beautiful Easter morning, when across the world hundreds of millions gather to celebrate the empty tomb of Christ, we are celebrating the fact that God was revealed as never before in the resurrection. That the resurrection of Christ tells us something about God that we did not know before. It reveals part of him to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but now it has been revealed," right? This grace has been here all along. God has been this kind of gracious all along, but we didn't know it until the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and has been brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. Right? God has not changed. He's been this way all along, but it wasn't until Christ was resurrected that we began to understand the grace of God. Carolyn Ahrens, she wrote that the world offers promises full of emptiness, but Easter offers emptiness full of promise. Empty cross, empty tomb, empty grave clothes, all full of promise. You know, if you think about if you were God and you wanted to reveal this about yourself to your creation, if I'm writing the Easter story, I don't think I would choose emptiness as my symbolic gesture. We think fullness is better than emptiness, but then, you know, I don't think I'd be talking about strength being made perfect in weakness either, or the foolish things confounding the wise, or the meek inheriting the earth, or the poor in spirit getting, in every sense of the word, getting the kingdom of heaven. And I certainly wouldn't be talking about dying in order to live. But I guess that's what we should expect from the God who decided that the best way to save the world was to let it kill him. I don't understand the way God thinks. But on those days when I'm feeling hollowed out and empty and broken and half dead, I'm reminded that as Easter people, even death is full of promise for us. But as empty as that tomb is, it still isn't the full reveal of God. Even knowing what we know, even reading what we read, seeing what we see in creation, and even now having the benefit of the resurrection, even then God is not fully revealed, because God won't be fully revealed until the return. The kingdom of God has come. Makes it very clear the kingdom of God has come, but it's still not yet here fully. God has been revealed, but there's so much more yet to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing after Jesus has come, after he's been crucified, after he's been resurrected, after he's ascended to heaven, and he says there's more of Christ that you don't even know. Christ is going to be revealed even further. He will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been revealed, but not all of him. There's more of him yet to come. David Peterson, he's the former preacher at a church up in Spokane, Washington. And he told about a time he was working and he was in his study and he was really preparing his lesson, and his daughter came in and she was young, she was cute, she wanted his attention, of course. She says, "Daddy, can we play?" And he says, "You know, I'm sorry, honey, but I've got to work right now. I'm in the middle of this, preparing this sermon, but I'll be done in about an hour and then we can play." And she said, "Okay, when you finish, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug." So she went to the door, and these are his words. He said, then she did a U-turn, And she gave me a chiropractic bone-breaking hug. And he said to her, he said, darling, you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished. And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to. That's the amazing thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know what God has promised, but even that is just a taste of what's to come. And I want you to know this morning, if you are a Christian, there's even more good news. It's more unbelievable than a resurrection. It is more tangible than the return. Because until that day comes, God has told you and me some really important news. He tells us that he's going to be revealed in us. Like you sitting here this morning, God says, I'm going to show myself to the world through you. Again, from the Apostle Paul, he says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, right? We're carrying this around us. And if you told me on most mornings that I'm carrying around the death of Jesus, I'd be like, I'm carrying Jesus' death and a few others as well. Because it feels like I'm carrying death. You know, getting up and getting going. I totally understand this, Paul. But he goes on to say, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I'm like, in this body? He says, yes, in your body. The life of Christ is being revealed. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. Here's the amazing thing. God treasures ordinary people. And this is not an ordinary Sunday. Don't get me wrong. But I showed up this morning, and I thought, like, I have got some great scriptures, and I am super excited about that. And then Chad gets up, and he picks a better scripture than me. And he looks sharper doing it. I wear a suit for one day, Chad, but no, didn't wear a three-piece suit. Right? And I thought I was excited about worship, and then Tommy gets up, and he's way more excited than me. And I thought I had a good point about in my sermon, and Nick gets up, and he's got a better point. I mean, I'm feeling pretty ordinary this morning. But praise God, he loves ordinary people. We may be beaten up. We may be broken. We may be misused and disused and abandoned by the world. And God says, that's just fine. You're exactly what I'm looking for. Because I'm going to reveal myself to the world through you. God takes what the world discards, like Abraham and Sarah, too old to have kids. He says, I'm going to build a nation on you. He takes David, the youngest and the weakest of the brothers, and he says, I'm going to build a kingdom under your kingship. God takes what the world rejects and makes something amazing. Even Jesus comes from a nowhere backwater town, born to an ordinary family, and God says, I'm going to do something great with this. Even the prophets, Isaiah says, you know, there was nothing that you would look at Jesus and go, well, that's the guy right there. He looked pretty ordinary. God loves doing the extraordinary with the ordinary. Every day you meet people who are just ordinary people like me and you. Ordinary people whose lives are not what they wished it would be. Ordinary people who may have done some things that they regret. Ordinary people who have made mistakes and stumbled and fallen along the way. And God tells us, not only do I love you ordinary people, I love those ordinary people so much that I'm going to take you and reveal myself to them through you. God loves us and loves them that much. And God puts those people into our path, puts them into our hands for the purposes of working in us to reveal himself to them. As God's people, beloved and redeemed, we are in on the secret. We know this ahead of time. We get to be a part of the reveal. We're the ones who already know that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. We're the ones who already know that that grave is not filled with a dead body. It is the home of empty clothes and a risen Savior. We are the ones who get to give the new information that changes everything about their lives. You and I are in on the secret. We're in on the reveal. And this morning, if you are not a Christian and you are want to be a part of that amazing, mystical, powerful reveal, God invites you to be a part, even you, as broken and flawed as you know you are. He says you get to be in on it too. And if we can bring you into the body of Christ this morning, put on Christ in baptism, have your sins, all of them washed away, and rise to a new life. Or if you are a Christian who has stumbled and fallen and you need prayers for forgiveness, for direction, for encouragement, we want you to know we are ready to walk with you as well. If we can help you at all this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?